is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today's going to be a great show. I'm going to make a prediction. Today's going to be one of the most downloaded shows that we produce this month. During the first hour, we have our regularly scheduled roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. Yes, that's right. This is the Rob Regish channel, folks. He's been on 3 days in a row. Third day's a charm. And we're going to be talking about the School of Hard Knocks, some of the stupid things we've done in hopes that people out there can learn from our mistakes instead of making the same mistakes over and over again. Later in the show, the keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Kubik, is coming on to answer listener questions in another Ask the Expert segment. And we're going to be talking about rest pause. Can you rest pause your way all the way to greater strength? So that'll be later in the show. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Coach Wade Johnson.
Good to be with you guys, as always.
And, of course, welcome back to the Rob Regish channel, Rob Regish.
A long time no talk, Carl. Thanks for having me back.
Rob bailed me out yesterday. I had an academician that was scheduled to come on the air, and at literally like an hour before the show said that she could not make it. And I called Rob and said, Rob, can you come back on? And so we did a show, and it actually turned out to be a good show. We talked about 101, beginning the process of physical culture, getting into the gym, assessing your body type, how you get started. And it was a good show. And we actually did that for my son, Chase, because he had had a lot of questions for me in the past few days. Today, we're going to be talking about something really interesting. I love this show. I love it already because I can't wait to hear the silly things that we've all done. You know, learning from our mistakes is much harder than learning from other people's mistakes. Yet, most of us don't do that, do we, Wade?
No. Don't. I think back. I'll tell you a really, really quick story. Or early on in my lifting career, before I really thought about competing, I remember I joined a gym where I lived at the time, and I was a musician full time. And every time I came in, I would see the same guy doing the same thing, and he was bench pressing like four times a week, and could not understand why he was not making progress and why his shoulders and elbows hurt all the time. and you would think that would be something that is really isolated, and the fact of the matter is that it's not. It's actually a lot more commonplace than you. I see it all the time.
Do you think that many of us, Rob, think, well, that's you, but that's not going to happen to me. I'm different. I'm superior. I'm going to prove to myself and the world that I have fantastic genetics. I'm going to train like an animal day in and day out and grow because you're weak and I'm not. Do you think people really think that?
I do. But that comes, you know, that comes with age, right? When you're young, you do think you're bulletproof. And you know what? Let's look at the positives there. There's a lot of ambition and a lot of energy. It's just a matter of harnessing that. But yes, there is risk there in thinking, you know, it's not going to happen to me. And that's what we're hoping to do here today, is to help guys avoid the mistakes that I made, Wade made, and everybody makes.
Okay, so with that, let's start. Wade, think back. I have to believe, because you have been doing this for so long now and making progress continuously, that has to have a lot to do with your ability to avoid injury. But you must have injured yourself early on. You must have done some silly things. What comes to mind?
I used to, years and years ago, I worked at this one place where my office was in the depths of the building where I worked. And I had this Olympic-type bench combo unit where I could squat out of it and things of that nature. And I had not joined a gym up until that point. And probably one of the stupidest things that I've ever done, and this was this was long before any aspirations to compete. I was squatting and decided, well, I'm just going to see what I can do. I didn't even own a belt or a pair of knee wraps. And I took out 405. This was probably, I was probably about a 250-pound guy at the time.
Okay.
And took out 405, squatted. You know, I knew I needed to squat deep. I mean, that was from my early bodybuilding days. And so I go, you know, ass to ankles.
Right.
And I get to the ankle portion of the lift, and I cannot move the weight. I can do nothing. Of course, you know, I'm in the depths of the building. If I screamed bloody murder on a PA system, you wouldn't have been able to hear me.
Right.
And so I was stuck, and I couldn't figure out how to roll it off my back. I kept trying to rock my way up. I didn't know what to do. And, you know, eventually what happened is I turned the weight loose and it came crashing down on the floor. But it was, you know, it was something that was very foolish. And it was the fact that all I ended up with was just a slightly strained back and sore wrist from letting it roll off my back.
Right.
You know, it just proves, you know, that a lot of times you're a lot luckier than you are clever or smart. And that taught me a very valuable lesson to make sure that, you know, even in the lightest of circumstances, you know, have some training partners around, you know, make sure you're spotted, and certainly don't take a max attempt with no one was even in the vicinity. It wasn't like, you know, the everybody has a story where the guy gets pinned in the bench press and you're running around the track and somebody has to come and save him. There was no one. There was no one within, you know, a mile of me.
Right.
So,
right.
But you know, the guy that has squatted over 1,000 pounds got pinned by 405 and damn near killed himself.
Yeah, that's a really good story. So obviously, was that the moment that you decided I'm going to learn to crush the squat?
it was like, I better really pay attention if I'm going to be good enough to, you know, to get anywhere with my squatting.
Now, you don't go ass to ankles any longer, right?
There are moments where I do for, you know, my assistants. Like if I do a high bar Oli type squat, close stance, or a lot of times if I'm front squatting because I, you know, I do Olympic lift, then I wouldn't say that I necessarily bottom out, but I certainly go well below parallel.
Rob, what about you? Do you have any stories like that where you tried a max attempt and found out that you just couldn't do it, and then what did you do?
Well, this is a tough one to admit, but I'm going to drop it. And this was only about a year ago. I pushed the throttle so far and so hard in one workout. I broke down more muscle tissue than they see in earthquake victims when buildings fall on people. And in short, you know, when you break down muscle, you're probably aware it breaks down into something called creatine kinase.
Right.
Shows up as CK on the labs. Normal values are between 0 and 310. When they got me to the ER, I clocked in at 13,725.
There's actually a disease, and I want to say it sounds like Ramboisin or something like that.
Acute rhabdomyolysis.
Yeah, there's actually a disease that people who have muscle wasting disorders, that's what they get, the acute and the liver and the system becomes compromised by this high amount of creatinine running through the body.
If you can picture it, you know, 13,000 pieces of dead tissue floating around your body and brain, the kidneys can't clear it fast enough. And in fact, after it happened to me, there were a bunch of football players out in Iowa that fell victim to it. And why? Because some coach pushed these kids into the ground. You know, they did something like, I don't know, you know, 10 sets of squats followed by sled work, back to the squats, back to sled work. And it's no joke. So, you know,
how many hours did you invest in destroying your body that day? Well, when you say this was, you pushed the throttle too far, were you training for hours?
Yeah, I was testing Blueprint 3.0's template. It was for 2 to 3 hours on end. I was doing, you know, static holds and partials with 900 to 1,000 pounds. And, you know, folks, just to believe me when I tell you, you know, you all have a brother, sister, family, friend that loves you. don't put your life in jeopardy.
Yeah, no.
It's not worth it.
Now, that's an interesting story, Wade. You know why? Because it wasn't just a single movement that compromised him. It was the accumulation of overwork. And this, I would probably say that this is probably considered overtraining to the extent of physical danger, wouldn't you?
Well, I've had those sessions, and I think we all do at one point. You know, it goes back to my initial story of, you know, where guys are benching every day and questioning their progress or complaining with sore joints and sore muscles. And I have to admit, early on in my powerlifting career, you know, when you're soaking up everything and you're trying to learn everything and you want to be respected and you want to be considered hardcore and a badass, you know, and I certainly wanted those things. You know, I've had those 3-hour long sessions where, you know, you couldn't, I would just have to sit in a chair for 30 minutes before I could leave the gym because I was so trashed, you know, and things cramping and my hands or my arms locking up where I couldn't even drive my vehicle. You know, so I think that's the tough part, you know, is tempering your exuberance, your drive, you know, intensity or ambition, with being intelligent about your training and more, you know, with your health.
Before we go into the break, I just had a thought. Remember, we've all been youngsters sitting around people who we admired, maybe uncles sitting around telling a story about the time that they did something reckless, but they survived it, and telling this story in such a way where we thought, oh man, you know, I want to add a story like that to my resume. Are we potentially having the opposite effect by telling these stories and embellishing them? The opposite intended effect? Rob, what do you think? And then I want Wade to weigh in before we go further.
I don't think so. The simple message that I'm trying to get across here is overtraining is not only detrimental to your efforts in growing larger and stronger, but it can be deadly. So, you know, if there is one big thing you want to avoid, it's overtraining and its tag team partner, usually undereating, which we'll get into, I'm sure, later.
But wait, do you think that these are just rite of passage events that we all have to just, you know, everybody's got to get pinned? Everybody's got to overtrain. Everybody's got to get there on their own. That just listening to us, the very few people will actually be inspired to navigate around these things, but instead navigate right into them so they can add them to their resume?
Well, I think the thing is that, especially in the day and age that we live in, the information age, so to speak, I think people, even early on in whatever their endeavor is, regardless, you know, whether it's training or kite flying or you know, speedboats, there's such a vast amount of information that I think people are trying to, you know, find information that puts them on the correct path quicker. There's certainly funny stories, and I have numerous ones of them. But as a coach, I am quick to point out, hey, this is why we don't do things like this. And there's a lot of times that I use myself as an example of what not to do. And you know, and the reason why I've been in this game for so long and have done so without any major or super serious injury is because I've avoided, I have a few of those stories, but there's not so many, you know, that I've taken myself out of the gym for a long period of time or, you know, taken myself out of, you know, a meet.
Right.
So I think, you know, ultimately the idea behind a show like this and the stories that we tell is like, while they can be entertaining, you know, pay attention because these are easy snares, pitfalls to fall in if you don't pay attention.
Okay.
And I think by and large, I think people do, they want to avoid the majority of these pitfalls.
Yes, I definitely don't want to ever go through some of the traumas that I've gone through because of stupid things that I've done, for sure. And I work hard to navigate around them now. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. Surviving the School of Hard Knocks. We'll be right back. Tell me that you need me, then you go and cut me down.
No
other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally, but now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, if you have not gone to iTunes and rated the show, I'm asking you to please do so. Many of you came out in support of the show and rated the show on iTunes, and it drove us into the What's Hot section of the Health Audio Podcast, which was great. But in order to keep us there, we need to have other people continue to rate the show. So I ask you, if you currently get the show through iTunes, or if you don't, if you download the show somewhere else but you do use iTunes, I'd appreciate it if you'd go to iTunes, find the Superhuman Radio Podcast, and rate it. Just rate it. If you just want to put one word, good, sucks, I don't care, but just rate it, because the more activity we get, the more iTunes pays attention to the show. And thank you in advance. Okay, so let's start off with one of those funny stories that may be funny to us but wasn't funny to you, Wade, about some other silly things that you've done, things that actually maybe caused you to have setbacks. Obviously, the squat attempt in the basement probably didn't set you back very far. Did you have anything that really set you back that caused you to, okay, I can't train for a while now?
Well, I think, here, like I said earlier, I think I'm a lot luckier than I am smart. I've done some really foolish things and have managed not to have any major injury, you know, tweaks where I would have to go light for a couple of weeks. And a lot of it is training too heavy too often, you know, going, well, I pulled 405 last week, I'm going to do 455 this week, you know,
right.
And 405 was busting my balls to get it off the floor.
Right.
You know, but I pulled 405, so most certainly after a week, I'm so much stronger. And, you know, so, probably one of the silliest things I did was, again, this is early on, but I even have a recent story that'll open everybody's eyes as well. But early on is, you know, everybody loves the leg press machine because you can really load it up. If you're not even that crazy strong, you can load it up with a lot of weight and
right.
reps.
Right.
But I've been that guy that went too long, too far, too heavy, and got exhausted and got pinned with over 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
So,
I've been pinned by the leg press machine too, and it's difficult to creep out of it when your legs are against your chest.
Yeah, well, in my big ass in the leg press, you know, I was already a fairly big guy, and you know, I got pinned, and it took. Finally, I was able to get my knees up around my ears where it got into the pins, and then I just kind of flew out of it.
Yeah, you got to go
you know,
one
so,
way. You got to throw your legs one side or the other. You got to come
and,
out the side.
You know, and again, to come out of that and not be hurt again is more stupid luck than, you know, than anything else. But
okay.
I was very, very fortunate not to have any kind of serious injury.
And, you know, they have pins on the damn leg press, but most of us
yeah.
don't pay attention to
nah.
them. You know, you can adjust them to the length of the lower,
sure.
the length of your knee, the lower leg. So that way, when the weight does come all the way down, you still have some creep room to get out.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, so Rob, what about you?
Okay, at 19 years of age, I picked up a copy of Bulgarian Burst Training by Leo Costa. You
yep.
remember that?
Yep, yep. He's the guy who also came out with Big Beyond Belief, same premise.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, there I am, right, with a ton of ambition, a lot of energy, 19 years old. I made the mistake, being a drug-free athlete, of trying to mimic routines and training volumes and total tonnage workloads that clearly were not designed for the drug-free athlete. So I embarked on a, let's say, 6-day-a-week, I think it was twice-a-day routine.
Right.
And needless to say, in short order, my body was sending me lots of signals that, hey, Rob, this is too much. Back off. You know.
But you ignored them.
But I ignored them.
Because you were going to follow the book. You figured other people could do this. I can do it, too.
Correct. So ultimately what happened was I had a fairly serious back injury, subluxation of several vertebrae in the sacroiliac area, and was out of commission. However, sometimes, you know, these things are blessings in disguise, and this is one such example because it's at that point that I discovered the merits of chiropractic and just how helpful they can be in our sport. Now, Wade, you know this. Virtually every meet, there's a chiropractor on hand,
mm-hmm.
and with good reason. So the mistake, trying to follow a training routine that clearly, you know, a drug-free athlete can't, but you know, look for the diamonds in the rough. There are a lot of times your biggest mistakes can also be lead to some of your biggest breakthroughs, and chiropractic was one such example.
Interesting.
For me.
I got one that I just thought of. I just made a list. I was thinking, I know I've done a lot of stupid stuff. I mean, I could easily talk about 2005 when my ignoring my body's messages that I was training too heavy, too hard, for too long, abusing caffeine supplements, and doing very, very high glycemic carbohydrates, all in tandem led to the complete and utter shutdown of my body. I remember being in the gym, and there's a guy named Jeff Fries who saw me after my collapse, if you will, and I couldn't bench press 20-pound dumbbells. I'm not kidding about this. I mean, I couldn't push them. My body had become so insulin resistant. My central nervous system had become so overwhelmed that I ended up like having a nervous breakdown. I couldn't sleep. I became an insomniac. I had constant tremor. And this was all from, and this, now that I look back, I know what it was. It was that, what you were talking about a second ago, Rob, it was that my body, I would start obsessing about squatting and deadlifting the night before and freaking out about it and worrying about it. And I would have to take large amounts of caffeine in the morning to get myself hyped up to get into the gym. And like Wade just said, well, last week I did 405 for eight, so this week I should be able to do 455 for at least three or four. And it's like I just kept driving myself and collapsed. But here's a stupid thing I really did. This is one of those short and sweet stupid things. I started doing good mornings. I started doing them with a manta ray. You know what the manta ray is? That little plastic thing that clips to the bar so you can squat with it on your traps?
Sure do.
Now think about this. I was doing good mornings with 405 with the manta ray. Wade, you're pretty good at kinesiology. Where was the bar laying? Against the back of my neck.
For sure, sure.
So after like a couple sets of this, I leave the gym and I notice that my left hand is really tingling. Like, what the hell is that?
Oh,
and
yeah,
about an hour and a half later, my pinky finger and the one next to it had gotten completely numb. And the next morning I woke up and I couldn't move my left arm or my neck. And that's where I met the chiropractor also. So when you do good mornings, make sure you keep the bar on your back and not your neck. Don't let it roll up on your neck. Don't be stupid like me. Oh, there you go. Okay. Come on, Wade. Give me something recent. Give me something, you know, you've already been educated. You said you have some recent stories.
Yeah, let me quickly give a shout out. I got a message from Julia and her coworker Denise. They're listening to the show, and Denise is new to training. She's having me help her a little bit, and so I wanted to give them a shout out. So I mean, this is someone new to the show,
and they're
listening in.
Welcome, welcome.
And Julia can attest to this as well. Recently, it's well documented that, and I've been very, very fortunate to lift the weight that I have. And so it's one of those things, once you've done it, you feel like you can, you can always do it.
Right.
And in the last year, I've said this more than once on the show, for the years and years and years, you know, I have trained so hard, you know, and my frequency and conditioning were such, you know, that I could take, you know, a considerable amount of abuse. And I've been posting on your Facebook page, you know, some of the things that, you know, that I've been doing of late. And recently I got into a suit that I've not used in probably 6 or 7 years and a pair of briefs, you know, trying to get myself ready to start a training cycle to compete as I lose weight.
Right.
And ultimately what has happened, my strength is still pretty high, but my conditioning for that type of training and handling those types of poundages are not. So what I'm finding out is I'm about every 2 weeks here for the past month or so, you know, my lower back has been tweaked. I'm just not, you know, used to handling the heavy poundages.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point, last week I was deadlifting and doing some trap bar work, which is a favorite of mine. And again, you know, tweaked the lower back and had to stop training to the point that Tuesday when I was squatting during warm-ups, I wasn't stable. My back was, you know, was tightening up and I was compensating. And ultimately I pulled the plug on the session. It was like, I've got to rest this. You know, I've got to give it some time to heal up.
Now, what were you squatting?
Generally what I do before I get in any gear, I'll go up to about 415 because I have squat bars. And that's, you know, that's when I start, you know, from there I'll start putting on gear. And at 4:15, I could feel that I was really unstable, and that my lower back was really tensing up. And so that I pulled the plug there. I was gonna train with about 600 pounds. And you know, again, decide in my youth I would have probably powered through it and paid a big price. And therein lies where I feel like I've educated myself. But the mistake that I've made is that, you know, I'd been squatting in the 500s just, you know, to stay in shape until I got ready. I jump into gear the first time and I squat 800 pounds thinking it's, you know, taking 800 pounds for granted, which was silly.
Well, and I want to point something out. While you have squatted 1,040 pounds in a meet, that's something that you have to build up to and peak. You don't stay in that condition and you don't even attempt to stay in that condition ongoing, right?
Well, and I've never squatted, I've had 1,015 on my back once in my career in training, one time. The heaviest I trained for the 1040 squat was 960 in training.
Interesting. Interesting. So that's why you don't do those max competition lifts as a training protocol, periodically.
No, I do not.
We have to take a commercial break. Rob, when we come back, I want you to chime in with something that maybe you've done recently.
Sure.
Help the listeners avoid the pitfalls, learning from those of us, all of us. We've all made these foolish decisions to overtrain, to make decisions that are quite often driven by the ego. And the more you avoid the ego and the more you pay attention to your body, the longer you will be able to make progress. And that's the key. Building on progress. You don't want your progress to be a two-step forward, one-step back situation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
I have never endorsed a training guide before, The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Ask the Expert special with Brooks Cubic. So tune in, don't miss that. Right now we're talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish, avoiding the school of hard knocks. Oh, I'm sorry, living through the school of hard knocks. Wade, please plug your websites real quick.
You can reach me at johnsonstrengthgroup.com or weightliftingdiscussion.com, and you can email me at supersquat800@yahoo.com, and I have a Facebook page, so you can reach me there as well.
Cool. And, of course, Rob Regish is the author of The Blueprint, and you can get a copy of The Blueprint by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. And also, Rob has a new supplement that many of you have already responded to the pre-sale coming out. It's called Synthogen, right, Rob?
Yeah, Mass Pro Synthogen is the name of the product.
Okay, very, very intelligently designed supplement. You can learn more about that by clicking the banner ad on Superhuman Radio and visiting his website. Rob, what about you? What silly things have you done recently that have set you back?
Well, you know, I got out of the hospital last February after I, you know, beat acute rhabdo. When I did, I decided to set a goal of bench pressing 405, which I had accomplished when I was much younger, around age 28. Now, I ultimately achieved that, but it came at a price, and the price was some pretty severe tendonitis in my right elbow, as well as some other pretty substantial injuries from flat-out overtraining. And I was very lucky to get to my goal, you know, before I ran it in the red, because I saw this train wreck coming. But, like the chiropractic example, it led to another blessing, which is I stripped down everything and went back to basics. And when I say basics, I mean I've been doing calisthenics for the last 2 to 3 months. Now, let me clarify what calisthenics is, because a lot of people are going to get a mental image of some guy doing jumping jacks failure in the gym. You know, this is the calisthenics I'm talking about are one-arm chin-ups, one-arm push-ups, single-legged squats. And again, this is just using good old body weight. And I have to tell you, I have been very pleasantly surprised, not only by the amount of muscle that I've kept, but also built, and the benefits it imparts insofar as flexibility and range of motion and joint health, and poof, you know, all of my joint pains went away. So, you know, it's just another example of you come up against something in life and training that potentially hurts you or does hurt you, and you find a better solution.
What would you have done differently to reach your 405 goal and not hurt yourself? Would you have just taken more time?
You know, I've thought about that a lot. I probably would have, you know, rested more in between workouts. I'm big on that, and it's proof positive that it's very easy to go astray, because the guy who tries to hammer that point home to all of the people that have bought the Blueprint, has difficulty, because I was dead set and had made the commitment to bleed, sweat, and sacrifice to get back to doing, you know, benching 405. So, yeah, I would have taken more rest and should have done it.
I've got one to throw in here. I did this recently, within the past 2 years, and that is doing reverse hack squats. I saw the reverse hack squat illustrated in a bodybuilding magazine years ago as a movement that would help the glutes and hamstrings. And it does, but the problem is all hack squat machines are made differently. They have a different angle, a different range of motion, and you have to be very cautious about doing this movement. It really severely hurt my lower back, and I was going heavy. This is when I was still living in Phoenix. I was training at Pure Fitness on Warner Avenue, and it felt good in the beginning with a couple plates, but when I got up to like 5 or 6 plates on each side, I would get down in the low point of it, and I could feel almost like a bursting feeling in my lower back. And I really think that the reverse hack squat is a dangerous movement and it should not be done at all. The hack squat machine is not made to hold the body at that angle. And so, unfortunately, your lower back suffers all of the trauma of being squeezed in a vise, basically. Your body, it's like you're being squeezed in a vise. It's a stupid thing to do. And it contributed to a development of a sciatic nerve problem that just, the straw that broke the camel's back was, after doing those, I went and did seated shrugs with very, very heavy weight and compressed my lower spine. And that is when my sciatic nerve, my right leg was virtually useless for almost a year. So, you know, don't do reverse hack squats. If you want to do that kind of a movement, find a power squat machine, which is designed for that kind of movement. And the range of motion follows the kinesiology of the body. Anyway, that those I would say don't ever do a reverse hack squat with any kind of, I mean, unless you're doing very, very light, a 45 on each side, and it's, you know, you can push out of it with ease. So that's it. Wade, anything that comes to mind that you've seen other people do that you forewarn them about? I mean, you train a lot of athletes.
The big thing is, I think the biggest thing that I see in the gym and with people that are inexperienced or have had no guidance whatsoever is how they warm up. I know I've said this on the show before, but I've seen guys that weigh, you know, a 150 will come in cold and they go to the bench and the first thing they do is put a plate on each side. So you got a guy that's 150 pounds, has done no warm up and starts doing reps with 135. And you know, that's his warm up. He's warm and ready to go. And I those are the types of things that I see over and over and over. And even with experienced people, no warm up, and training too heavy too quickly. I see that all the time.
Do you think people are surprised to see the lightweight that you warm up with? I know that you warm up with very, very lightweight.
I think so. I think one of the things that, or some of the conditioning work that I do, one of the things that I do, like for, like assistance, after I've benched is I'll take 5 pound dumbbells, because I've seen the guys, and I'm sure Rob has seen this, where they're taking 50 pound dumbbells and slinging them doing side raises.
Yeah, right.
And I don't ever do that. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, just a tip, if your fists are up higher, if your elbows are bent and your fists are up higher than your shoulders when you're doing a lateral raise like that, a side raise, you're really not doing anything to your shoulders. You're just working your brachials. That's all you're doing. So, I mean, it's just, I know, lighten up on the lateral and side raises for sure.
And that's the thing. They're stunned. They'll see me with 5 pound dumbbells and I'll do 30 to 50 reps and they'll go, why are you, you know, going so light? Because a lot of times those, you can do those lightweights but once it gets to about 30 reps, you know, it doesn't matter the weight, it's burning. And so I get that question all the time, you know, why are you going so light? How is that helping you? Shouldn't you, you know, be going heavier? And, the answer is no, especially on a movement like that. And I always caution people, because you said something about the lateral raises, is I always, you know, think, you know, once you get past parallel, then you're doing something else other than working the shoulder.
That's right.
And I tell people with single joint, isolation type movements, think conditioning versus strength, because I think so many times we train that assistance so much heavier and it actually is the genesis of injury.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. Specifically with your pointing out about the, you know, doing those types of side raises and going up above. Really, the whole movement is from where the arms are parallel to the body to where they are exactly perpendicular and everything in between. And once you go above that 90 degree point, now you're pulling your traps into it. Your shoulders aren't really working any longer. And if they are working, you're compromising the joint. It's a very, very dangerous movement. We have to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the interview. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish, avoiding the school. I mean, living through. I can't. Why can't I get this right, guys?
Surviving the school
of hard knocks. That's, you know what it is. My stomach is bothering me today. I ate an entire bag of chili coated mangoes from Trader Joe's yesterday. And I got to tell you, not a good thing to do in one sitting. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolone, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
Bridge, I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy to maintain gain. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. This is another installment of the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy, and in the goal of reaching your goals, not getting sidelined in the process. So we're discussing the things that sideline people. And Rob, you have one that you want to throw out there that I think is really important, and it's one that probably doesn't get a lot of mention. And
yeah.
What is that?
This is an easy one. Program hopping. You see this a lot in gyms where guys will get on a certain program and they'll start deriving benefits from it, but you know, out comes the new issue of muscle infection or whatnot. And
I like that muscle infection. That's good.
And it's screaming about the latest and greatest training routine, so they get right on it. You know, I fell victim to that too, and it's a very easy mistake to make. It's part of the reason why I built the blueprint shell the way that I did. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, in the back of everyone's mind, they seem to have this nagging suspicion, and it's true. The best program for you is the one that you're not currently on. But there has to be structure to it, and you know, each program needs to complement and build upon the one before it. Because let's face it, you know, you just boosted your bench from 250 to 300. Fantastic. What are you going to do now? You know, that's really the big question. What's next? And in the process of program hopping, without that logic behind it, how does this build upon the program that I just used? you can really waste a lot of time. And yours truly made that mistake. And that's why I wrote the blueprint and structured it the way I did.
Interesting. Wade, what about you? Do you have experience with program hopping like that?
Well, I get asked quite a bit about, you know, the training method that I use. You and I have even covered it in shows, certain things that I do that, you know, may be considered unconventional or not of the norm or, you know, not typical of West Side or progressive overload, whatever the case may be. And, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, the issue that I find with most is just a lack of consistency. You know, it's like, well, I've been doing this for 4 weeks, you know, and so why am I not seeing, you know, tremendous gains? And I think by and large people forget that this isn't a sprint or even a race. You know, it's something that requires a great deal of time. And the biggest thing, the thing that I focus on so much is you've got to be consistent. And so I think that's the pitfall that so many fall into. It's the same, like I've had clients, you know, or especially young guys will buy a tub of protein and they get done with the protein in 3 or 4 weeks and they don't understand why they're not gigantic and haven't put on, you know, 25 pounds of steel cord, you know, granite hard muscle. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And so I think that's the pitfall that so many fall into is, I tell you what, this is a great quote, and Louis Simmons and I had this conversation in the past few months. It's generally with people that really want to train or work out or whatever the case may be, it's rarely an issue of if they're going to work hard enough, but are they going to work smart enough? And that's direct from Louis Simmons.
Yeah, and he trains to some of the strongest men in the world, obviously.
Yep.
So, so. In summary, I've got a stupid one that I did recently I could talk about real quick. This just dawned on me. This came to mind earlier, Wade, when you were talking about trashing yourself one day and not being able to get out of, you know, you had to sit down for a half hour before leaving the gym. I made the stupid mistake of doing some IGF-1 long R3 right before a workout, but forgetting to eat any carbs with my pre-workout meal. Getting into the gym, trashing myself, then going into the sauna and sitting in a 160-degree sauna for about 20 minutes while I shaved. When I got out of the sauna, I stepped into the ice-cold shower like I normally do to, like, zap my body. But instead of being invigorated by it, I felt like I was going to pass out. Like, everything started to – you know when you're going to pass out and everything starts fading? So I had this sensation like everything was fading. I thought, wow. I left the shower running. I stepped out. I pulled the shower curtain open. I walked over to one of those little plastic benches, and I sat down on a plastic bench. I put my hands, my face in the palms of my hands. My hands are on my knees, and because I couldn't even hold my body up. I sat down, and I was stuck like that, and I used the word stuck specifically. I was stuck like that for a good 15 minutes. The shower's running. All my stuff is in the shower. I'm sitting on the bench. People are walking back and forth. I can't lift my head out of my hands. I became so hypoglycemic. I mean, you talk about stupid, you know, and the reason I tell this story is because many of us use supplements and super supplements and all other things, and we forget that the double-edged sword, the good news about these supplements is they work, and the bad news about these supplements is they work. So if you're going to use IGF-1 long R3 pre-workout, be sure that you have enough carbohydrates in your pre-workout meal, because IGF-1 long R3, as the name denotes, insulin-like growth factor, acts just like insulin. And it will clear the bloodstream very rapidly of any available glucose and shuttle it into muscle. And guess what? If it's in your muscles and your brain can't use it, your brain goes, hey, I think it's time for sleepy time now. And I was sitting 15 minutes and I'm thinking to myself, holy crap, I can't lift my head out of my hands. What am I going to do? Like, I was actually thinking maybe I should ask somebody for help. Like, can you help me? I mean, and here I am, I'm naked and I'm not, you know, I'm not a proud person. It's not like I'm one of these guys who struts around the gym naked. You know, I'm really quite shy and reserved. And I'm sitting there naked. I can't move. And then all of a sudden my adrenals must have kicked in because I was so freaked out and liberated some glycogen from my liver, you know, and I started to like, I felt like somebody had started to turn the motor up from, you know, 15 back up to 30, back up to 50. And like, I felt like things were starting to run. And then I was able to stand up, get in the shower, finish my shower and leave. That was some scary ass moments right there. So if you're using these kind of supplements, please don't take it for granted. These things work just the way they're supposed to work. So that's a good story, I guess, to close the show on. What do you think?
Yeah, you can get in that same bind with the glucose disposal agents, like too much alpha lipoic acid.
Yeah, bingo. Thank you.
Yeah. Or hydroxyisoleucine. You need to be careful. Even chromium can cause that.
You know, and people take it for granted that, you know, what a lot of us are real cavalier about using supplements because we feel like, well, you know, it's over the counter. And obviously it's not like it's not really a drug. But guess what? These things work. They really, really do work. A lot of these supplements really, really work the way they're supposed to. So heed the warnings. Make sure that you understand how they affect your body and make sure that if it requires certain nutritional protocols to support the use of those supplements that you're adhering to them, or you'll find yourself naked sitting in the shower asking strange men for help.
that's creepy. That's really creepy.
What gym do you train at? I want to make sure I don't show up there.
Yeah, no. Believe me, I'll never do anything stupid like that. Normally what I do is I have two large heaping tablespoons of sorghum or raw unpasteurized honey with my pre-workout meal. And that gives me more than enough glucose and some fructose waiting to be transferred into glucose in my bloodstream to last throughout the workout until my post-workout meal, which also includes generally about two heaping tablespoons of sorghum or raw honey with it. I forgot the honey. It wasn't until my hands were in the – my head was in my palm of my hands that I was thinking to myself, what the hell is going on? And then I thought to myself, I had my protein powder and I had my coconut oil and I didn't have my sorghum. I'm like, oh my God, I'm hypoglycemic. Like I really need a piece of candy right now. I'm like a diabetic right now. I'm going to go into a diabetic coma. That's what I'm thinking.
Alyssa sounds like she needs a safari hat to be your handler.
Yeah. You're funny. That is funny. Well, listen, guys, thanks for sharing these stories with the audience, obviously.
Hey, before we go, Carl, let me mention this. We're experiencing this in my gym. You know, it's that time of year where a lot of people are coming into the gym and new and stuff like that. And the story with Julia and I is well documented, and we get married in May and so on and so forth. But she has been working out in the gym with us and is making some great progress. And the exciting thing about that is, and what I'm trying to encourage as we tell these people, you know, about our horror stories and stuff like that, is, you know, all you guys out there that have some experience, you know, take that new person under your wing, and, you know, or if you have a spouse or a significant other, our time, Julie and I, as an example, our time is so limited with our schedules, with work, the gym, and, you know, and children and all the things that we have going on. And it gives us, you know, an opportunity to spend some quality time together and the excitement of seeing someone start making progress. So I encourage everybody, you know, if you've been like me, who's been so blessed and had so many people help along the way to where now I'm considered that I know something about training in the sport, I encourage everyone to pay it forward, you know, not just to tell someone what they're doing wrong, you know, but to take a minute in the gym with whomever it may be and let's pay it forward and enjoy time in the gym, especially together.
I like that. We need to treat physical culture like a religion. You know, religion, churches are always looking for new members of the congregation. They have outreach programs. We need to do the same thing with physical culture because the more people we bring into this fold, the greater health the country will have. It'll benefit us all in all different aspects of our lives. So I'm with you on that. That's a really, really good point, Wade. And that's a good point to close on right there.
Ditto.
Thank you very much for being on the show today, guys, and we'll see you in 2 weeks, right?
Great to be with you guys, okay. As always.
Okay, talk to you
Same
soon.
Here.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Keeper of the Physical Culture Flame, Brooks Kubik, on, and we're going to do another segment of Ask the Expert. We got some great questions. Hopefully, you're one of the people that submitted them because you'll hear your name on the air in a moment. We'll be right back.
The drink, the drink, the drink, the drink, the drink, the drink, the drink.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Take it back, take it
back. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm joined now with the official keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Kubik. How are you doing, Brooks?
Hey, Carl, I'm great. Great.
And
so you are now doing reps with the weight of the world.
Yes. Oh, yes, I am.
I like that. That's a good line.
Specifically, I do that in between segments during commercial breaks.
Gotcha.
That's why
gotcha.
Many of you listening to the show may notice your coffee is kind of bouncing around and the room looks like it's wobbling. That's me doing reps with the weight of the world.
Perfect.
Anyway, We missed a lot of questions. We have more questions. The questions are piling up. We're going to have to start categorizing them. I'm going to lead off and ask the first question. This was from last show that we missed, Ask the Expert. This one comes from Matt Beatty. Should tall lifters train differently? Yeah, you probably shouldn't do anything in very, very low rooms where you bump your head. Other than that. Go ahead. You answer it, Brooks. What do you think?
I'm laughing because I actually trained in my basement at one point, and the joists were such that I had to very carefully position the barbell so that the plates would go up between the joists.
Right.
When I was doing an overhead lift,
If I was doing an overhead dumbbell lift, I had to make sure the dumbbell plates went up between the joists. And there was one time I was trying to do a 300-pound push press for a personal record, and I had to load it with 25-pound plates because if I had 45s on it, it wouldn't have worked. I would have hit the joists.
Oh, how funny.
And that's on one of my DVDs, my Power Rack training DVD, so you can actually see it. You know, and here I am trying to personal record with 302 in the push press, and you know, I'm sitting there looking at the joists and thinking, okay, exactly where do I position the bar?
That's funny. So there you go. Taller trainers have to train different. No. Anyway,
well,
but should tall, I mean, are there movements that maybe taller trainers shouldn't be executing? Do they have to train differently?
Well, taller trainees are going to have longer levers. Okay. So a lot of conventional movements are going to be really difficult for them. Bench press would be difficult for many. Squats difficult for many. Surprisingly, deadlift not as much in many cases. It depends on the individual body leverage. But squats are often a problem because you have a long back, and that's a long lever, and then you have long thigh bones, and that's a long lever. You know, so typically taller trainees are thinner. They often do not have strong, thick bone structure like a stockier individual might have. So the question becomes, how do you train? Well, a couple of things. Number one, you want to use a set rep system that allows you to train your body without tearing it apart. So whereas a shorter, stockier lifter might do better with lower reps, heavy singles, doubles, triples, etc., a taller individual probably should go higher reps just so you don't have the sheer amount of weight on the bar, because those levers are going to impose a lot of stress on the body when they're under a load.
Right.
Squats may be a problem, particularly if you're not working your flexibility. You want to be really, really careful to learn all of the different heavier exercises and do them the right way. Now, there are basketball players. The Chicago Bulls, when Michael Jordan was playing for them, you may have heard of Michael Jordan. I got a letter from their strength coach, who had read Dinosaur Training, loved it, said that he was using a lot of the same training principles with the players. And that would be heavy awkward objects, sandbags, overhead lifting. He did a lot of Olympic lifting, big Olympic lifting fan. But I'll tell you this.
He was lifting Charles Barkley, too, from what I understand.
Yeah,
talking about big, awkward objects. Now, again,
yeah, but I'll tell you this. That coach trained those men in exact perfect form and technique. And you know that he didn't let anybody do something that put their body at risk. If they didn't have the flexibility to do squats, they weren't doing squats. They'd do something else. But he'd probably work on the flexibility, and the goal was to get them to the point where they were doing the more athletic movements. So really the bottom line is tall trainee trains the same as anyone else, but needs to be very careful to learn the exercises, learn proper form, work on flexibility. You want to be doing everything in exactly perfect form, and if you don't know, if you're not sure, get instruction before you start going heavy. And then, as I said, the set rep schemes, probably you're going to do better with less weight on the bar and higher reps. Another thing I'll throw out there, 5x5 system. People always ask, how do you do it? Shorter, stockier lifter may want to work up to one heavy set with 5 reps with a really heavy weight. Taller lifter might do better doing 3 sets of 5 with a lighter weight.
Yeah. And the squat especially is one that you have to pay special attention to. You know, when you think about if a tall lifter and a short lifter use the same angles at the joint. So let's say the tall lifter is bending at the hip and the short lifter is bending at the hip the same angle. Let's say it's 3
yep.
degrees.
Mm-hmm.
The shorter lifter will have less stress on the lower back than the tall lifter because take a 6-foot plank and give it a 3-degree tilt. And take a 3-foot plank and give it a 3-degree tilt and look at the difference that length creates in the pressure of the same amount of weight at the angle.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And people, people don't understand that. They forget about it. And it's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, everybody always says, you know, so-and-so is a powerlifting champion. So-and-so can bench a ton. He can squat, you know, 2 tons, whatever. And, boy, it'd be great if he played pro football. He'd be a terrific defensive lineman. Well, probably not because he has short legs. He has short arms. That's why he's powerlifting huge weights. And if you look at a defensive lineman in the NFL, they tend to be really tall with long legs and long arms because, you know, when you reach those arms out, you've got a whole lot more more of the field covered when you're trying to tackle people.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, and then the reverse is people say, well, you know, so-and-so is a defensive end. He's an all-pro player, but he can't really lift that much in the weight room. Well, no, because his body is designed for playing football, not necessarily for lifting weights. But that doesn't mean he shouldn't lift weights.
That's correct. All right, let's tackle a second question here. Just okay. Thank you, Matt Beatty. And there were several people that actually asked this question, so it's more than just Matt. Unfortunately, I don't have all the names here because I'm just not that intelligent. Okay, let's see here. The next question we have actually came from Eric Ilarina. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Will running cut down my strength gains? Obviously, this is a question that has been asked forever and ever and ever. What's your opinion?
Well, this is one of those yes and no type questions. If you are working at the top level of elite powerlifting or Olympic weightlifting, you probably don't want to be running. Although some Olympic weightlifters sprint and some Olympic weightlifters use running programs earlier in the training cycle or the training season. If you're younger, yes, you can do it. Look at high school athletes. Look at college athletes. Wrestlers, football players do a lot of running, and they can be incredibly, extremely strong. So, you know, it's not necessarily running destroys you. You just have to have the ability to recover from your workouts. And if you're young, you've got a lot of recovery ability, a lot of recuperative ability. And so it's much easier to combine running or any form of cardio with your strength training. As you get older, it becomes more difficult. And an older lifter, someone 35 and up, age 40 and up, is going to have a lot more trouble, particularly if they're heavier. If the running is putting a lot of stress on your ankles, your knees, your hips, your lower back because of your weight, and that can be muscle weight or it can be the other kind of weight.
The bad weight.
Yeah, the bad weight that you get from following the Harvard nutritionists and their food pyramid.
Yeah, there you go. Right, exactly.
Sorry, bang. Yeah, still mad at those guys.
Right, I know.
Yeah, so anyhow, an older lifter, 35 and up, heavier lifter, running is going to put a lot more wear and tear on the body, so you have to be much more careful about it. I like high-intensity interval training. As opposed to going out and running, you know, three, 4, 5 miles. I think it has a lot better carryover to a strength athlete.
Yeah.
I also like a lot of types of cardio that you can do that are more suited to a strength athlete. For example, in addition to your running, consider rowing, consider a step machine, consider lugging and loading drills. Consider your cardio-type training you can do with a barbell or a barbell and a set of dumbbells. I cover that in one of my books, Gray Hair and Black Iron. We don't have time to go through it in detail, but cardio training for iron heads tends to be different than cardio training for people who just want to do cardio, and you need to make sure that you work it in as part of an integrated element of your training program. Very, very quickly, if you train 3 days a week, why not strength training twice a week, cardio once a week?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, your questions answered by Brooks Kubik. If you want to learn more, go to Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com. We'll be right back.
Slow mo. DJ Yoda. DJ Hero.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ecdysterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy-to-maintain gains. Go to IronMagLabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. I'm going to try to move fast through this, Brooks, because we have quite a few questions to try to cover today.
Shoot.
The next one is from Darren Marshall. He says, Brooks, what are your thoughts on back-off sets? For example, I normally run the 5x5 with 2 warm-ups and 3 work sets, then lower the work set weight and do 1 set for reps. Would this allow for more strength and hypertrophy to be gained than the traditional 5x5?
Well, Darren can try that if he wants to. I don't think it'll do very much for strength, because strength is weight on the bar. So if you're taking weight off the bar, you're not training strength. What he's really doing is what we used to call a pump set when I was a kid, finishing up with, you know, a big pump. And it's not pump that causes gains in strength and muscle and power. It's weight on the bar. So I've never used those drop sets, or not drop sets, those pump sets. And as I said, you can try it, but I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I mean, as you point out, this is not central nervous system adaptation training. This is more for hypertrophy. So if you want to not neglect muscular size gains, maybe it's a good thing to do, but it's not going to contribute to strength, right?
Not at all, no.
The next one is a good question. And I think you and I agree, so I'm going to just ask the question. This one comes from, let's see here. I'm trying to make out this, there's no name. It's just that I just see an email address, and I don't see a name at the end of it. So I apologize. Morty. Morty. This comes from Morty.
Okay.
He says, "Hi, Brooks. Didn't many of the top bodybuilders of the pre-steroid era also compete in weightlifting and powerlifting meets in the off season? Is that something that they did in order to maintain strength and size? Did they use those sports as their off season training?"
Yes, and no. Very quickly, let's define our terms. Pre-steroid era is, let's call it 1960. Steroids were around earlier, but they really became prominent after 1960. So
right.
Pre-steroid era, 1960. Bodybuilding started in 1939 in the United States. So we're only talking about a period from 1939 to 1960. In the 1930s up into pretty much the 1940s, most people who were into weightlifting and into weight training, let us say, were interested in bodybuilding and in Olympic weightlifting. There was no powerlifting then. And they tended to do both. John Grimmick, for example, two-time Mr. America, Mr. Universe winner, undefeated in bodybuilding competition, the preeminent bodybuilder of the era, began life as, guess what, an Olympic weightlifter. And who was very good. He was a U.S. national champion and represented the United States in the Olympic Games. In the 1950s, we started to have more diversity where people were either one or the other, either a bodybuilder or a weightlifter, and that became much more evident after 1960. Randy Roach, in his book, I believe, covers, I think most people know, that they used to give athletic points in the Mr. America
I was just going to say, don't you think that that was because back in the day, bodybuilding required a couple compulsory lifts on top of looking good?
They got points based on how much they could lift in the Olympic lifts. And so people practiced just to be able to get those athletic points when they were in a bodybuilding competition.
Right. Right.
But that stopped. I'm not sure exactly when it stopped, but after the 1960s, we really had a complete divergence of the two cultures.
Okay, there's a part two to his question, and that's what I want to get to now.
Okay.
He said, "Brooks, what is your honest opinion of P90X?" And by the way, Morty G, thanks for these questions. Go ahead. What do you think?
Here's what I think. If someone wants to sell you a big super system and you're not doing squats and you're not doing deadlifts, because you don't do those in P90X, do you?
No, because the average person isn't going to try that. They don't want to push that hard.
Yeah. You're doing something that is better than nothing. My daughter-in-law used P90X. Yeah, let me emphasize. My daughter-in-law used P90X, and she liked it. She got good results from it. If you're a guy, my honest opinion is, why bother with the P90X? Do something that's higher intensity, harder work. Do something that requires some real weight. Or if you're in a situation where you cannot do weight training, you don't have barbells, don't have dumbbells, don't have kettlebells, whatever, there are much more hardcore body weight training options. There are a lot of them out there. I wrote a book, Dinosaur Bodyweight Training, that a lot of people like. High intensity, low rep, extremely difficult bodyweight training will work wonders.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Go ahead.
No. I agree. And I think that P90X probably is a good thing from the standpoint that it'll get the average American off the couch and doing something. But you have to understand that everything in P90X, I mean, he talks about muscle confusion. I don't remember. What's the guy's name that does P90X? Do you know?
I don't even know. I just don't. It's not even on my radar screen.
I mean, I don't know his name, and no disrespect. I mean, I should know his name before I comment. But he talks about, well, we've come up with muscle confusion. Well, wait a minute. I think the first person to ever coin the term muscle confusion was Joe Weida back in, what, the 40s and 50s? I mean, if you're going, and I've said this about the P90X before. I have no problem with putting together a program, doing all the heavy lifting and assembling the program so the average person, the average newbie, can get off the couch and make progress. But always, always give credit where credit is due. You didn't come up with this idea of muscle confusion. You stole it from Joe Weider. So that's the only problem I have with P90X. The guy who does the thing, look, you know, he acts like he's this authority. And I got to be honest with you. We are just awash in fitness and health authorities today. And most of them, I mean, I don't consider myself an authority at anything. I just interview people. But there's a lot of people out there who just because they lost weight, now they're going to tell everybody how to lose weight. It doesn't work like that. I went to the doctor for a colonoscopy. That doesn't mean I can give you a colonoscopy. So anyway, that's my only beef with P90X. All right, let's get to the next question. And I had a feeling that you would be opinionated about it. I didn't know where you would go with that one. I thought you were going to trash it, actually.
I was being kind.
Yeah, no, I know. I want to save this next question for a little bit later in the show because this is a good one. Let's see what we got here. Okay. The which is better question. This came from Michael Thomas.
Okay.
Hi, Brooks. I am sure you have heard of the trap bar. What do you think about it for working legs? Trap bar squats. Thanks.
I've been a fan of the trap bar essentially since it first came out. I'm extremely high on it. I very, very much like it. I like the original Girard trap bar designed by Al Girard, powerlifter from North Carolina. He's an engineer, by the way. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes sense.
He designed it specifically to increase his deadlift in powerlifting competition. And he used his engineering knowledge, his engineering skill to design the trap bar.
But do you think that really transfers over to the deadlift by doing that kind of a trap bar deadlift?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of people out there who say, you know, it doesn't transfer, it doesn't carry over. And, you know, it's like, do not agree with that at all. What you do not do is you do not do the trap bar workout and not do regular deadlifts and then run over and try to do a regular deadlift. You have to work both of them at the same time. It's a very good auxiliary movement. It's like close grip bench presses will help your bench press. Okay? So, you know, that's how I think of the trap bar if it's being used as something to increase your strength for the deadlift. Now, for older lifters, the trap bar is a gift from the gods. You know, a lot of older lifters have knee problems, hip problems, lower back problems. They can't do squats, and they need a big power movement to stimulate increases in muscle mass and strength throughout the body. And the trap bar deadlift is the easiest on the body of anything that you can do.
Yeah.
The
only problem I have with the trap bar deadlift is I have a very difficult time finding the center.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That it doesn't want to torque, you know, bottom down, front down, back up, or back down. It always wants to torque itself. I can't find the center. I lift, and the damn things want to lift, tilt forward or tilt backwards, and then I give up. I've tried it a couple times. I had a listener who's probably listening to the show. He goes by Mr. X because he works within the pharmaceutical industry, so we can't let them know that he doesn't believe in their, and he's not drinking the Kool-Aid any longer. But anyway, and he does fantastic trap bar deadlifts, and I tried to do them with him, and it was just like my wrists keep getting torqued to the front, to the back. It's like I finally just went to the straight bar and said, I'll just do these.
Are you using a Girard trap bar or another kind of trap bar?
I don't know. I'm just using the one that's at Louisville Athletic Club. So that's it.
Take a look at my buddy John Wood has worked out a deal with Al Girard, and he actually markets the Girard trap bar. Look at his trap bar training website and the photos of what he sells and see if that's what you've been using. I use a Girard trap bar. I don't have that problem. I hear, you know, other people do, and I think they're using a different type of bar.
Yeah, just some other aftermarket trap bar that some guy welded in his backyard somewhere probably.
Yeah, or some guy made in China.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USL Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
I have never endorsed a training guide before, The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Uh-oh. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. Brooks, before we get back into the questions,
yeah,
just mention briefly, there's an opportunity for distance learning for people who've never been able to attend one of your seminars in person. You've got a 4-week seminar coming up that people can do from afar, correct?
Yeah, and in fact, I just put up a link on the Superhuman Radio website. We're doing an early bird special, which ends today. Right now, it's 50% off if you sign up for the seminar. Normal price is $100. You can sign up for $50 right now. It's a 4-week program, 4 classes, audio seminar. You can listen on your phone, or I believe they have a format so you can listen on your computer through Skype. That would be available for international listeners. We're going to cover dinosaur training from start to finish. And basically what it's going to be the same as if I'm standing in a room, lecturing, talking, going through the whole dinosaur training thing.
It's going to be a webinar. It'll be interactive. Yeah. They'll be able to ask you questions and participate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It back and forth. And we're scheduled to go an hour each time. But you know what? If we get in and we're talking training and we're on a roll, we'll just keep going. So it's a pretty good opportunity.
It's going to be like a virtual classroom.
Yes.
In fact, I'm thinking of sitting in because I want to shoot virtual spitballs at Brooks's neck when he turns around to write on the blackboard.
I would have expected nothing less.
Okay. We've got a question. This is a good question.
Okay.
I have to read a little bit of the first question, and then you responded. This comes from Lawrence Otero.
Okay.
Lawrence originally asked if there was any information in any of your current books that cover stretching, because there's so much blurred information out there. And then he goes on to say, I've read somewhere that a person loses flexibility with age. I'm looking for how much per session, in other words, how much stretching per session, and how many times per week is necessary. Of course, always considering that I don't want my stretching to interfere with my strength training. I do some stretching now, however, I'm just doing what someone told me to long ago. So what do you think? Is stretching critical? Do you write about stretching? And if so, how much is too much that will start interfering with strength training?
I don't write about stretching per se because other people have covered it very well. I particularly like Bob Anderson's book on stretching, which is kind of an established classic in the field. You know, Pavel covers stretching in a lot of his books. There's materials out there about stretching. So I'm not going to repeat those, but I'll refer people to them. As you get older, absolutely, you start to get tight, you lose flexibility. And one of the real important reasons to work out is to maintain flexibility as you get older. Remember that you don't necessarily have to maintain superhuman degrees of flexibility. You don't have to be able to do a full splits. You don't have to be able to, you know, kick 2 feet above your head. What you need to be able to do is to move freely and smoothly in any of life's activities. And to do that, your regular training, the movement in your regular training, is going to do an awful lot to keep you loose and supple and flexible. As far as specific training for flexibility goes, how often should you do it? Every day if you can, particularly if you have a problem area of some sort, go after it every day. Do not go after it so aggressively that you become really sore, which is easy to do if you overdo your stretching. A lot of guys, they get too aggressive with the stretching, and then it starts to interfere with their training, and then they pull something when they're lifting. Classic case is the guy who gets into stretching, he's doing too much hamstring work, and then he's squatting or deadlifting, and bang, something goes pop with his hamstring. So you want to be very cautious. Again, I emphasize, as you get older, you don't need superhuman flexibility. You need mobility more than anything.
Yeah, good one. All right, the next question could actually take a little long to answer. So we probably this will probably be the last one for this segment. Then we'll come back and ask the $64 million question, which is about rest pause. This one comes from Clayton S. Hi, Brooks. Could you address lifting injuries? I would be interested in hearing about injuries that old-timers had and how they healed them or actually worked around them, probably. He said, I hurt my back a year ago deadlifting, and it has really been hindering not only my training but my life.
Okay, and that's the end of the question.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the old-timers. How did they work around injuries? Hoffman talks about it in several of his books. How to Be Strong, Healthy, and Happy is one of them. They were big into liniment.
There's something you don't hear about anymore.
Yeah. Liniment was a big deal.
Remember Tiger Balm? Tiger Balm.
Oh, yeah. I will never forget the day that we thought it would be funny to put Tiger Balm in the wrestling coach's jock strap one day before wrestling practice.
Oh, my God.
Man, we ran laps so long that day. Oh, my God, it was terrible.
That's amazing that he even survived it.
Well, he was kind of smart. He figured out pretty quick there was something in there.
Well, the smell is so strong. It's kind of like Bengay almost, you know what I mean?
It's like Bengay on steroids. But liniment was a big thing. Hot baths were a big thing. Remember, they didn't have that much. There were poultices, herbal poultices that people used. Jules Bacon, who won the Mr. America in 42 or 43, when he was a kid, he was in an accident. He was run over by a car. and the doctor wanted to amputate his leg. And his mother just couldn't bring herself to say, yeah, doc, that's okay. Refused to approve the amputation. She went to what has been described as a witch woman who gave a little packet of white powder for 25 cents, said, sprinkle this on his leg. He had an ulcerating wound that wouldn't heal. Sprinkle this on his leg. She did, and his leg was fine, and doctor came to see him a couple months later and was astonished to see the kid running in the street with the other boys. And he went on to be Mr. America.
Wow.
But, you know, if you have an injury, you've got to have medical attention. I actually followed up with Clayton, and he told me that he did, in fact, see a doctor, which is good. Back injury, I'm going to throw out again, the trap bar can be a godsend. Don't know exactly, I don't know what the injury is, and obviously you want to be real careful. But if you think that you're in good enough shape to be training again, the trap bar is a lot easier on the lower back than a lot of other pieces of equipment, and you might want to give it a try. The main thing that the old-timers did, though, which is what anybody should do if they're injured, is rest. Give the injury some time to recover.
Right.
Okay? And come back very, very slowly and conservatively.
Yes. But come back. Clayton,
yeah.
Come back. Listen, you don't have to use weight. Go through the deadlift motion without any weight. Stand there in your stocking feet. Get your stance right. Get the lower back locked in place. Squat down. Squat up. Squat. Start out with no weight at all. Do that.
Yeah.
And do that until the muscles start to remember how they felt. And then maybe grab a couple 5-pound dumbbells and do it. And don't think that, oh, well, this is so light. I used to squat 350. And it's like, no, that's okay. But start with no weight. This is what I used to finally rehabilitate my shoulders. I started doing shoulder work with no weight and then added lightweight, light sissy weight, weight that I was embarrassed to use. But you know what? That's how you bring it back. You don't heal and then go right back to 50% of the weight you used. You go back to 1% of the weight you use, and you grow 1% to 2%, and then 2% to 5. And before you know it, you'll be healed again. But come back. That's the key.
Yeah. One of the best tools on the comeback trail is a broomstick. You don't use a barbell. You use a broomstick, not with a broom on the end of it, but just the stick.
Right.
That's your barbell. It weighs half a pound tops, and that's what you use. And Carl, I've done the same thing. I have a whole chapter on it in Gray Hair and Black Iron. Had a terrible shoulder injury. Surgeon wanted to, you know, jump in there and start cutting me up. And I remember a big smile when he said that we were going to have shoulder surgery. And I was like, no, we're not. We don't need to do that.
Right.
And I healed it myself conservatively, but I started with that broomstick. After that, you know, I was using 1.5-pound plates, one in each hand, and then 2.5-pounders. And eventually you get up to where everything's fine again, but as Carl said, you start real slow and you go real conservative.
The key is to come back, but definitely come back. Start with no weight at all if you have to. Get your movement locked in before you even grab, and then grab the broomstick to keep your form, and just start doing that. And before you know it, you'll see. You'll come back. But if you don't, if most doctors will say, well, I remember when my knees were bad from squatting, and I went to see an orthopod. I think I've told this story before here on the show. And he was sitting the whole time, and he said, how this, and I told him from squatting, and he said to me, you don't deadlift, do you? And I said, yeah. He goes, stop deadlifting. He goes, the deadlift is the worst movement you can perform. He said, the sheer force it puts on the lower back is destructive to the vertebrae. And I heard what he said, but I didn't really even pay attention. At the end of my consultation, he stood up from his desk to shake my hand. He couldn't straighten out. He was bent over. He shook up. And I thought to myself, yeah, I'm going to take advice about my lower back from you. You're a freaking orthopod and you can't stand up straight. I don't think so. I'm going to keep deadlifting. All right. We got to take our last commercial break. When we come back, we're going to ask Brooks about rest pause.
Can you rest pause your way to greater strength? During the break, visit Brooks Kubik, KUBIK.com. We'll be right back.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com. NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I've been watching you. A la 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 long. A la 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 long, longly long, long.
Just want to remind everybody. USCell Wellness is offering a 20% discount to all my listeners when you use the coupon code SUPER, S-U-P-E-R. And get a load of this. If you order their trace mineral product, which we talked about on the show with Bear Walker, you not only save 20% off the bottle, but you get a second bottle for free. They're called Superior Trace Minerals. This is a great way to replenish electrolytes in the body. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the USCell Wellness banner ad, and at checkout, after selecting the Superior Trace Minerals, use the coupon code SUPER, S-U-P-E-R. Save 20% off your order, plus get a second bottle for free. Check it out. Okay, Brooks, this is our finale question. And let me see who this comes from. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I want to give credit where credit is due, of course. Actually, we have another question we could throw in here after we answer this one. But okay, this one came from this one came from Bill. I want to pronounce his name Kosiaba. Is that does that sound right? Kosiaba, K O C I A B A. Bill, I'm sorry for butchering your last name. He says, Brooks, can you talk a little bit about rest pause training? Boy, there's something we've forgotten about.
Yeah. Bill, I can talk a lot about rest pause training. I've got two chapters on it in Strength, Muscle, and Power. Rest pause training was developed in the 50s. It was featured in Perry Rader's Iron Man magazine. And it was something that was completely bucking the trend of muscle pumping and pumping the muscle with blood. You know, most people, when they think of weightlifting, particularly in the pumping iron or the post-pumping iron era, they want to pump the muscles up, do lots of reps, get a lot of blood in the muscle. And the problem with that is you end up with hypertrophy. You develop a large muscle, if you're lucky, if everything goes right. It doesn't work for everybody. And you don't have the strength in the muscle to back it up because you need to do the heavy weight, the more intense work, the slower, harder reps to build that strength. So Perry Rader, you know, always cautioned people, you got to be real careful if you're following this muscle pumping stuff because you're going to look like you're strong, but you're not going to be anywhere near as strong as you look. And he gave examples of a top bodybuilding champion who weighed well over 200 pounds and struggled to press, military press, overhead 185 pounds.
Wow.
You know. Okay. Rest pause training was developed as a way of using heavy weight and still doing a reasonably high number of repetitions. And the way it was designed, classically, in the 1950s, take the curl, for example. You set two benches or chairs up so that the barbell plates rest on the chairs or the bench, and you can stand between, and the bar is exactly at the start position of the curl, but you're not, you don't have to hold it. In other words, the weight is completely supported. You do one rep, slow, perfect form, including a nice, slow, controlled negative. You allow the bar to rest completely on the supports. You stand there, you shake your arms out, take a couple of deep breaths, and you rest anywhere from 15 to 30 seconds, and then you do another rep. And again, it's a slow, controlled, perfect rep. You lower it. The supports take the weight. Shake your arms out, take a couple breaths, and do another rep. And typically, they would have people do two or three sets of 10 or 10, 8, 6. You can do sets of 5. You can do sets of 6. It doesn't matter. And as long as you figure out a way to support the barbell in between reps, you can do that with any exercise. Obviously, if you're using a power rack, it's easy to set things up. You can do bench presses, bottom position bench presses with the pins in the power rack set so the bar is resting on the pins and you actually start each rep from the bottom position. You can do the same with the squat if you want, or you can rack the squat. You do curls lots of different ways. Deadlifts, obviously, you lower the bar to the floor and then repeat. You do the same thing with bent over rowing. You can do this with pull-ups. And do you know what West Coast bodybuilding gym owner guru said you should do pull-ups this way?
No, who?
Gironda.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, he was big into that arched back pull-up where you pull up and you touch the lower line of your chest to the bar.
Right.
With your back arch.
So you're really pulling up above the bar is what you're doing.
Yeah, you're going really, really high, and it's almost impossible for most people to do even one rep. Gironda once said he'd only seen six men in his whole life who did a pull-up properly. And what he said was do singles. In fact, he said stand on a box, jump up into that position, hold the position, lower very slowly, then stand on the box and repeat, which is essentially rest-pause training. Well, you know, this is a really interesting training method because you can use a significantly heavier weight. And the other thing about it is each rep becomes its own journey.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing,
it's almost like doing timed heavy singles.
It almost is. And you know, some people would say, well, you're just doing single reps. It's like, okay, whatever. Don't quibble.
Just do it.
Just do it. And it's a really interesting thing. If you were to videotape yourself doing a set of 10 reps in the curl, and then you were to videotape yourself doing rest pause curls for 10 reps, rest pause style, I can almost guarantee that the rest pause curls are going to be much more intense, much, much better form, slower, more controlled, more focused. You'll get your head into it. You know, your breathing pattern changes. It's a real, real interesting thing.
How many reps should you do if you're doing this type of rest pause work? What should you shoot for?
No more than 10.
Okay.
And you can do 10, 8, 6 if you do 3 sets. You can do sets of 8, you can do sets of 6, you can do sets of 5. I wouldn't do any fewer than 5 because, you know, it's rest, pause, repetition training as opposed to doing a heavy single.
Should you do an entire session? Let's say you're doing your split routine where you hit muscle groups.
Yeah.
Should you do every movement rest, pause, or just one of the movements out of the bunch rest, pause?
You can do it either way. I like abbreviated workouts where you do one movement per body part anyway. So my answer would always be, you know, you can do the rest pause. What I would often do when I was doing really heavy powerlifting training, I would do one exercise per workout as either rest pause or heavy singles.
Yeah.
That would be my bench press, my squats, deadlifts,
right,
presses. And other exercises, I preferred to do sets of 5 reps. I liked curls, pull-ups, or rowing, whatever I was doing for my lats. I'd do 5 reps. It just felt better doing it that way. And so what you might want to do is do rest pause on one exercise and do conventional reps on the other. The reason is rest pause takes a long time to do.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right, because you're resting in between. We have 2 questions left. We're going to try to move quickly, because one of them is actually a question from me. We may have to go a little long. Okay.
Okay.
The next one comes from Robert. He says, does age determine the amount of reps I should perform?
Yes. As you get older, your recovery ability diminishes. In other words, you don't recover, you don't recuperate from your workout as easily as when you were younger. And if you perform fewer reps, it's easier to recover because you're reducing the workload and you are limiting the amount of wear and tear on your body. So everyone always says as you get older, you should do high reps. No, as you get older, you should do lower reps, but with weights that you can handle in perfect controlled form.
Okay. Okay. Here's one from me. Okay. What's your opinion of the 45-degree leg press machine?
Oh, man, you are talking to someone who's probably done 5 or 10 sets on a 45-degree leg press machine in his entire life. I've always been a squatter. I just don't do leg presses and never have. Other than when I was in high school and we had that universal gym leg press machine,
right,
which is a different form of leg press. I know that they're very popular, but as I say, I've always been a squatter, and there's nothing like doing squats. And
well, what if you what
never
if you
been
did
able to wrap around it?
Okay, all right. Let me back up.
Okay,
I did a leg session the other day. I'm split training now. I've been training whole body for 6 weeks, and now I'm moving to the split. So my leg session started out with power squats on a Bodymaster PS 300, which I'm not ready to move to the squat yet psychologically, the free bar squat, but I mm-hmm. will be. And so from there, I went to the leg press machine and did the leg press as an auxiliary movement, not as my power movement. So in that instance there, if you're squatting and then you're doing leg presses as part of your leg routine, what are your thoughts about the leg press? Do you think that the leg press is a dangerous machine?
45-degree leg press?
Yeah.
I think that as long as you don't round your lower back at the bottom.
Bingo.
Bingo, then you're okay. Now, if you round your lower back, then it's one of the most dangerous machines that you can do.
Agree.
And the other thing is this. And again, this goes back to that question about tall lifters and what they should be doing. If you have a poorly designed 45-degree leg press or any kind of leg press, the shearing force on your knee is going to be extreme. And, you know, there's no way of really knowing if you have a good leg press machine that's easy on the knees or a bad one until you start doing it and you start having sore knees, which would suggest that if you're going to do leg presses or if you're at a new gym or your gym gets a new leg press machine, start light, work up slowly, and kind of test it to see how it works for you. Because it might be one that you really don't want to go heavy on.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's leg press machines that I know just by looking at them that they're not the ones that I go heavy on.
Yeah.
Typically, the leg press machines that I do the best with, because I am a big guy, is the ones that have a much wider platform where I can get my feet wide if I want to or bring them narrow if I want to. And also, the platform is higher, so I can get more hamstring strength into it by bringing my feet up instead of just straight out. But I posted a picture of the leg press machine on my Facebook the other day with 14 plates on each side for my last working set. And, you know, I'm trying to motivate myself right now. That's really what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And quite a few people said, you know, oh, it's the worst machine. It's the most dangerous, more injuries caused by it. And I pointed out something that you just mentioned. The leg press machine is dangerous if you don't keep your ass and your back planted at the bottom of the movement when the platform is closest to you. And this typically, in my experience, and I'm not an expert, but in my experience from looking at the movement, feeling the movement, when people have strong quads but weak hamstrings, what happens in the leg press is as the platform comes closer to them, to make up for the weak hamstrings, they rotate their hips forward and they allow their glutes and their lower back to take some of the load and their ass comes out of the seat. And this is when you're really in dangerous water, because this is when you could actually pop some of the lower vertebrae of your spine. If you have equal hamstring strength as you do quadricep strength, then you should be able to keep your ass and your back planted, yet bring the platform down close to you. And if this is how you do leg presses, I don't see a problem with doing the leg press. That's what I was trying to get across. That's why I was asking you. And you said it right up front. As long as you're not rounding out your lower back at the bottom of the movement.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking at that photo right now. It's a pretty cool photo, and I noticed it when you first put it up. And now I'm looking and seeing that you have 32 comments, which I had not noticed before, and so I guess everybody was going nuclear about this. You know, but Carl, you nailed it. People need to understand our bodies are different, pieces of equipment are different, and sometimes a little change, increasing the height of a bench by half an inch or an inch, can affect your bench press enormously.
Yeah.
You know, just a simple flat bench, if it's a little too high, now your legs aren't, your feet aren't in the right position,
yeah.
Your hips aren't, your shoulders don't brace the right way. And it changes the whole thing. And that's just, you know, in leg press, there are so many different leg press machines.
And
you got to find one that works for you.
And I know which ones work for me.
There's
the leg press machines over at Urban Active on Shelbyville Road. I can't do it. I mean, I can go heavy with them, but they don't feel right. I know. When they have those narrow little platforms, I don't even try to get on them. I have to have a big wide platform where I can go wide and high, and then it works for me. If it has that little tiny square platform, I don't even endeavor it because I'm not interested in injuring myself. Brooks, we've gone over. But rightfully so, we've answered a lot of good questions today. Please keep your questions coming to Brooks for future interviews. Brooks, always great to have you on the show, man.
Carl, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, so there you have it. Another great episode. Thank you to Wade Johnson and Rob Regish for doing the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy during the first hour. We'll see everybody tomorrow with a fantastic episode of Casual Friday when I'm in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. See you then.